We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited to nibble at the bones of the college football offseason. Juicy wings? I don't know where I'm going with that. But I'm very excited for this episode. There's a really nice thematic crossover that we have going on with today's show that I'm particularly proud of. Yeah. So, as we've mentioned here before, you are turning 40 in the fall?
In the fall, correct.
Fall, late fall.
Thank you. By the way, thank you for reminding me of this simple fact. I had forgotten several times so far this year. Thank you for reminding me. You're a true friend.
Of course, of course. Well, first of all, you don't look 40. You look like you're in your early to mid 30s, like I am. And
whoa. Early to mid 30s?
Yeah. I'm 37, and so that's like in that like mid 30s ish.
Okay. You know
zone.
What? I like you. I'll give you mid 30s. I don't know about early, but mid, we can do mid.
I know. So I was thinking about it, of course, and thinking about like 40 is a number where like, okay, you're in your 20s, you're young, you're out of college. 30s, you're a grown up. For sure you're a grown up, but the 20s are just kind of in your rear view mirror. You hit 40 and the rear view mirror is chipping off.
Right. We're talking about portfolios once you hit 40. And you're just not when you're 25.
Yeah. You're talking ear hair. You're talking having to ice a lot more often after normal activities. And it's
right.
Okay. We're all going to go through it. You know, us younger generations. So what I was thinking about was your progress towards 40 and what you have and maybe haven't accomplished, because that is that big number as you enter this fifth decade of life, right? And so what I want to say is you're officially like, okay, so my people say you're officially a man when you turn 13, but like there is something you can call somebody kind of like boyish in their 30s. I don't know if you can when you hit 40.
Well, this
so what
is
I wanted.
Hey, this is the Mike Gundy thing. It's in our intro. I'm a man.
Yes,
I'm 40. He
I'm
said.
So this is your official Ty mitzvah this year. It's happening. And so I wanted to review teams that are definitely young adults, but are they men? I don't think so yet. And I don't know. There's a certain threshold, and it's to me a double digit win program. Is an adult program. In this case, we say I'm a man, I'm 40 because it's Mike Gundy. So we'll go with a man instead of a woman. But you know what I'm saying here.
Sure.
That there are programs that have grown up, but are they fully realized? Are they fully hitting their potential as often as they should be? I thought about this about 30 seconds before the show. Are they Saturday Sundays? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying there, that's Sundays with an E. We all strive to make and enjoy ice cream, but those special bowls, Ty, have what? Chocolate syrup or hot fudge, whipped cream, peanuts, cherry on top. That's what we're angling for. And, you know, maybe it's just the hot fudge, but there are those four elements that maybe take you from 8 wins to 12 wins. I'm going to say this show's theme is taking a look at 5 teams who I feel like are on the precipice of becoming, I'm a man, I'm 40, like you, on the precipice of a double-digit win-ish program. But there's still some work to do to earn that hot fudge, peanuts, whipped cream, cherry. So I want to take a look at those 5 teams with you, one from each power conference, and figure out why they haven't been and if they could be that Saturday, Sunday, I'm a man, I'm 40. Does that make any sense?
Sure. Also, a theme for this show are the 2 links that you send me, one of which is titled 40 Things to Do When You Turn 40, and another that says Health Checklist for Men in Their 40s. I did want to zero in on number 5 on the things to do list, which is make a will. That's where we're going with this. Make a will. Get your first colonoscopy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Indulge in one of your sex fantasies. I mean, this runs the gamut here.
I mean, it can be as many as you want. Are there news items you wanted to get to? Are there housekeeping items you wanted to get to? We're doing an off-topic show with our friend Bill Barnwell of ESPN about 90s kids sports movies. That'll be released Friday morning to our Verballers at verballers.com, our Patreon patrons.
That's right. You can also go to newsletter.solidverbal.com. I am steering hard into the newsletter angle this year. I don't know if you
love it.
If you've
newsletter
picked that
of
up
intent.
Or not. Yeah, but the newsletter of tent's getting a bit of a makeover. And we're going to steer into that because newsletters like podcasting are having a bit of a rebirth during the pandemic. So
that's true.
I am always open to ways to try and add value to people's everyday lives. And so newsletter.solidverbal.com. If you are interested in partaking in the fun, if you haven't already, we're going to be revitalizing our offering in that department.
Yeah, not a lot of news that's, I think, worthy of the sound effect. It's, you know, more transfers, some commitments. I know the dead period ends, so we'll get some visits and more, quote unquote, normal recruiting happening across the sport. But nothing too enormous to me has been happening across the sport. I saw ESPN released, like, what is it, FPI? Their power index?
Football power index, yeah.
Some sort of combination of returning starts and production, and I don't know what else they include. They're kind of opaque.
Can I give a pro tip on the FPI?
Please.
A pro tip on the FPI. So a lot of people will ask, we've had it on like some of the live stuff that we've done, how much would X be favored over Y?
Mm.
Get that all the time.
Right.
An easy way, just as a guide, it's by no means a tried and true way to get the exact number. But if you're just like interested in that sort of thing, go to the FPI, look at the total ranking for both teams and subtract one from the other. And that's basically how you get a neutral field point spread. Little pro tip.
I also saw that you and Boston College are aligned with your New Balance associations.
Dan, I'm wearing Air Jordans right now. I've evolved into my
Is that true?
Years.
You are which ones?
I don't know. The ones that I sent you months ago.
I think you sent me the ones. They're really nice. Good job.
You actually may have ones that look like this. I don't. But no, these are. I'm wearing Air Jordans. The New Balances have been relegated to mowing the lawn, and now are entirely grass stained.
Should we get into our 5 teams on the precipice of becoming Saturday Sundays?
I would love to. Don't forget to tell all your friends to follow along on social media, to follow along on the podcasting app of their choosing. And as Dan said, go on out to verballers.com. We are doing the 90s sports movies for kids with Bill Barnwell. It will be available, again, only to our Patreon subscribers. There will be a video version that is available to some of you as well. I'm very excited about this show.
Yeah. Hornier than I remember the 90s kids sports movies. And
hornier,
I'm not even joking around about that. Like, there are more references to adult themes in them than I immediately remembered.
Night nurses from Jersey? Are we going there
Night
with
nurses
this?
Nurses from Jersey, absolutely.
Why don't we start with Iowa, Dan?
Okay.
So in 2019, Iowa went 10-3. They had the big bowl win over USC, the resounding bowl win over USC. This past year in the COVID shortened season, played 8 games, went 6-2. The defense has remained stout over the years, certainly over the last 2 years. Explosiveness, though, has remained poor. And my guess is that we're gonna talk a little bit more about this as it relates to Iowa maturing into that fully formed threat to win the Big Ten. The offense did improve marginally in 2020, but my eye is trained on that explosivity number, which I know we have come to know and love. The only other tidbit here that I'll offer just looking forward is that the schedule in 2021 actually looks fairly workable. It's not a bruiser of a schedule. They do have, obviously, of Iowa State in the non-con. I think they've got Penn State as one of their cross-divisional games, big matchup against Iowa. But it's, as Big Ten schedules go, it's fairly workable. So when you looked at Iowa, what was the first thing that jumped out to you? What is their next step?
So I rewatched. So what I did is I went back and watched the 5 games involving these teams that seem like we could have, if one of those teams, so if any of these 5 teams won the game, that we might be looking at this team differently in terms of hype coming into this year. Or, and so Iowa's a little bit different than these other programs in that they've won double-digit games relatively recently. If you include the bowl game against USC recently, then they won it that year. But they went 9-3 in the regular season. I tend to look at these things as a regular season thing. So I rewatched and scrubbed through the Northwestern game from last year, a game that Iowa essentially gave away because Spencer Petras couldn't... Petras couldn't stop throwing interceptions. He was inaccurate, and he was, at one point, the announcer called his continued throwing style hot and high.
That's Max Whittick.
Reminiscent of that. And so ultimately, over the course of the season, Iowa's defense was sensational. Iowa's offense was more creative, especially on the ground, but they lose their top 2 receivers, notably ISM. And I don't know if we saw a ton in terms of the Hawks evolving, going downfield successfully and more creatively in the passing game. It was a lot of what I like to think of as pickleball football, where it's just real tight, 12-yard fields at a time.
Do you play pickleball? Hmm? Do you know what pickleball is?
I know what pickleball is. I've never played, though I'm about to start playing paddle tennis.
Is that different?
Which is different,
pickleball?
But similar. Yeah, different ball, different racket, different rules. But yeah.
Okay. We may need to come back to this because I need to learn more about pickleball. But anyway, continue.
Okay.
Continue.
It's
please.
Popular with older people, so I think you really do need to dig in.
Thank you.
A little bit
Thank
more.
Thank you for that. That's good.
Iowa is interesting because the offense, when it's at its best, relies on an ethos of serving its defense, but also efficient passing. I mean, the running game hasn't been there overall these last few years, but there's no reason to... What I'm trying to say is it's a smaller margin for error when you don't have that explosivity, which Bill C. talks about in terms of the team that wins the explosivity battle, generating and preventing, wins more games than any other metric could dictate, even more than turnover margin. And so Iowa is fantastic at stopping those big plays, but until they fully shed that offensive, I guess, timidity, I mean, it's hard when you have a reputation for not developing explosive players on offense, but they need to continue going down that creative path. And with the Big Ten where it is right now, with essentially a power as it stands in the offseason of 2021, games are winnable for Iowa. And there's no real reason beyond, I think, the accuracy and ability in the downfield passing game. I mean, the Northwestern game was so ugly. They were up early. They were taking advantage of short fields. The second half was just a complete nightmare for the Iowa offense. And it was early on in the season, but it's not like we saw this offense suddenly come to life in the back half of their schedule. So I am hopeful that they can evolve, but I don't know that this is the quarterback to lead that way.
And so me as the elder statesman of this show, hearing this analysis, Dan, and looking at this list, again, 40 things to do when you turn 40, Mm-hmm. I've been evaluating through the course of your analysis what Iowa may need to do per this list if they want to take that next step and if they want to be a man and be 40. Does that make sense?
Correct.
Number 18, update your wardrobe.
Okay.
Update your wardrobe feels like a good step here for Iowa, especially on offense, because a lot of this program, we want to remain intact. We want to keep the defense intact. You know, mm-hmm. we've made fun of Kirk Ferentz before because he's kind of boring and he's been there forever, but he's also built something that's very, very sustainable. It's a sturdy program, and sure. it's done well. It's done very well over his tenure.
Is that not what you were mentioning before? That like indulge a fantasy?
Indulge a fantasy, that might be a
lot.
Where
you sort of have a successful workmanlike experience in the bedroom, but it's time to zazz it up a little bit?
Right. So, I mean, we could go sex fantasy.
Sure.
We could go spice up your marriage, which I don't... no one ever has like a real good answer for what that means.
I mean, how much time do you have?
Or, thank you, or... Mm-hmm. I feel like update your wardrobe. It's conservative enough that it fits the program, but at the same time, it conveys the point. What AskMen.com says is as you enter the next phase of adulthood, you may want to reconsider how you dress for the part. 40 mm-hmm. is a great time to reinvent your style, Dan. Something a little bit more
like that.
A little bit more age appropriate. No one's saying you have to retire all your torn concert tees. But as a 40-something, you want to make sure you have some good options for business, casual, and formal events, too. So I feel like we want Iowa to get more of those cutoff t-shirts. We want them to be a little bit edgier.
T-shirts.
Maybe they've been wearing khakis a little bit too much over the last couple of years. We do want to zazz it up a little bit by updating that wardrobe. Do you agree?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fine. Do you have items that you are looking to check off in terms of wardrobe updating?
You know what? I actually made a rather large clothing purchase.
Look at you.
Before the pandemic.
Okay.
Before the pandemic.
Was there a theme to it?
At the time, it was work attire, just like updating the work attire. Because I don't buy clothes that often. And so I updated the work attire. And I haven't taken any of it out of the packaging. I haven't had to.
Fair.
I can count on one hand the number of times in the last year I've worn a collared shirt.
Yeah, I decided a couple years ago to invest more in premium athleisure.
Right.
Really
Same.
Nice joggers and stuff
Same.
Like that. And then I really, and this, it just hasn't come to pass. And I'm nowhere near 40 in the way that you are. Mm. But I really wanted to, I have a couple of items like the, like button down short sleeve shirts with prints, like little pineapples and stuff like that. Not full Hawaiian, but just, you know, colorful prints.
Not full Andy Reid.
No, absolutely not. I'll get there eventually.
Right.
But no, not that. Okay. So update your wardrobe. I think that's appropriate.
Update
next team, what do you want to go?
Wardrobe is the advice for Iowa to get to the next stage. Why don't we go to Auburn, Dan? Auburn. Mm. Auburn could be a really interesting discussion here. So 9-4 2 years ago, 6-5 this past year, parted ways with Gus Malzahn, brought in Brian Harsin. That's the obvious headline. Both offense and defense in 2020 took a marginal step back. It wasn't a horror show, but it was a marginal step back. And I feel like especially on offense, there was just this air of inconsistency. That's what has plagued Gus Malzahn, what had plagued Gus Malzahn in the last few years of his tenure at Auburn. The explosiveness in particular has been really bad for 2 years running. And if you look at things that ultimately are like antithetical to the Gus Malzahn brand, we think of Gus Malzahn, we think of like what he did with Cam Newton. We think of the Nick Marshall year. Like, this is not necessarily an offense that I've come to know as lacking explosivity. It's a fun
There were some
offense.
Good times with Jarrett Stidham. Yeah.
There were some fun. Yeah. So it's supposed to be an explosive offense that zags, as you like to say. It mm-hmm. catches teams off guard with its ability to do different things. We just didn't see enough of that. Now, we could go into detail here on why that didn't happen, whether it was Bo Nix, whether it was any number of different things. But they are obviously moving on from Malzahn. They're going to Brian Harsin. I guess the question that we can ask is what does this transition mean? It also means the arrival of Derek Mason, who was let go by Vanderbilt to come down and now run the defense for the Auburn Tigers. Right. Is it Mike Bobo running their offense?
It was, yeah. He was going to be retained in Columbia, but yeah, he got seduced away from South Carolina to Auburn. Yeah.
Seduced away. So this is very much a program in transition, maybe a bit of a midlife crisis here. What say you? I know you watched some of your Auburn clips. What do you think? Mm-hmm.
So I rewatched the Auburn A&M game, which was fun and strange and honestly there for the taking for Auburn. I don't know if that saves his job. I know that there were stories that after the South Carolina loss, it was basically all but a done deal for Gus Malzahn and moving in a new direction. But Auburn's interesting. So they're replacing their receivers. They're changing things up on defense after a really impressive stretch with Kevin Steele running the show. He's gone. And as you mentioned, Derek Mason taking over and shifting a little bit in terms of scheme, I believe. So to me, what jumped out about that game and where Auburn needs to be and where they aren't is I just think they need a better quarterback. Like yeah. That's the starting point in the, you know, the Mike Bobo system, for as good as it's been at certain places, but not every place. If Bo Nix is not able to consistently throw on platform to take a snap and make a read and step into a throw in the pocket, he's able to make plays. He made incredible plays in that A&M game, especially with his feet. But I just, if we're talking about Auburn as a more consistent double-digit win threat, they either need somebody that you can count on at quarterback to be like a consistent B plus, or they need that high ceiling dude. And maybe it's D Davis, the freshman who set all sorts of records at Texas. He's a shorter dude, like 5'10", 5'11", but I think he has an electricity to him that's pretty intriguing for the future, depending on if he's a good fit with whatever Auburn is running on offense. Of course, Brian Harsin has his own offensive background, but I don't know. The defense took a step back. Offensively, they're going to be relying on a number of new skill guys, but Auburn should always recruit well enough. But it's very difficult to see. And now Texas A&M has a very good defense, but that game was absolutely there for the taking. And there were just far too many mistakes and three and outs and miscalculations and missed receivers to feel like Bo Nix. Hope I'm wrong. Always hope I'm wrong with stuff like this, because I'm always uncomfortable, or I've become more uncomfortable criticizing college kids. But it doesn't seem like he's a double-digit win answer at this juncture.
Okay, so there are several themes,
yeah,
I think, emerging here again as the elder statesman looking at this handy list from AskMen.com, which I will link up for anyone interested. It's preposterous.
Yeah.
But there are several themes. I think the one that is shining through the most is one of self-awareness.
Sure.
One of self-awareness. So there are a couple different angles that we could go here in our advice to Auburn to get
number
to
19,
that next stage.
Mentor somebody.
Mentor somebody. Number 7, get a colonoscopy.
Okay.
Like just suck it up, get the picture taken, and let's really medically assess what's going on here.
I'm very excited to hear what you have to say in terms of comparing a colonoscopy to the Auburn offense.
We could do that. We could go that direction.
Go back to school.
Could also go number 22, embrace the change. Embrace the change of the moment. Steer into the Brian Harsin regime and just go with something new. Also, how about take dancing lessons, number 29?
Just to get out of the comfort zone.
Just get out of the comfort zone.
I'll ask you this then, just because you bring up an internal procedure. Go deep inside and look at your gut, feel your gut. And do you see the Brian Harsin, Mike Bobo, Derek Mason, Bo Nix, and or D Davis, and whatever, whoever comes after there at quarterback, and just the general potential for Auburn, given the situation in the SEC West, do you think they can win double-digit games once every 3 years, which I imagine does not sound unreasonable to an Auburn program that has won, played for national championships in the last decade, has been in the SEC championship game, has been in major games. Is that an expectation that you think is unreasonable for the now Brian Harsin Auburn program?
I don't
10
think
regular season wins once every 3 years.
I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
Okay.
No, I don't think that's unreasonable at all. I think, you know, part of what Harsin was good at Boise was maintaining some general level of stability. He was consistent year in and year out. And I think if you're Auburn, look, Auburn, we've done the thing on this show where we talk about every other year. It's like every other year. When you don't think Auburn's going to have a good year, they have a good year. When you think they should, they don't. So it's been the tale of two cities to an extent for the Auburn Tigers. If you're Brian Harsin coming in, I think you want to try and establish that consistency. Now, maybe it's not 10 wins every year. It probably isn't in the SEC. But if you can consistently be at like a 9-win level and every so often bump up to 10, 11, if you're really lucky, 12, I think that's entirely in the cards. But we kind of don't know what it's going to look like yet. And it's a difficult SEC schedule, as it always is. They've got Penn State in 21 coming up here in the fall, second to last week in September. That's going to be a tough road non-conference game. So it's just not going to be easy. And in the short term, I agree with you. I was really high on Bo Nix when he took the reins. He's a legacy. He did have moments in his freshman year, especially where we, you know, the stats kind of painted a different picture, but there were certainly moments in the early
part. Maybe Oregon and Alabama.
Yeah. In the early part of Bo Nix's career where it was like, this kid's got some intangibles. Sure. I tend to agree with you now after another season. I'm not sure he's the guy. So I don't know if it's taking dancing lessons. I don't know if it's the full on colonoscopy. Two different sides of the spectrum there.
You know, but a colonoscopy just is a picture taking procedure. They're not cleaning everything out.
I am aware of what it is. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
I do appreciate that. I am aware, but in some way, shape, or form, the move for Auburn is one of self-reflection, looking in the mirror and being honest with oneself. And so whether it's, hey, I gotta stretch my limits, I gotta get outside my comfort zone and take dancing lessons, or it's I got this pain in my gut, I gotta get this thing checked out. One or the other. They got to do something to just truly evaluate where they're at in life.
I would also add number 14, put yourself out there, because they're recruiting, to be expected, with the coaching transition, fell off a cliff in this last class and this next class. Obviously, there haven't been guys on campus and camps and spring days and all sorts of things like that, but hasn't started off in a gangbusters way. And so I'm positive this staff is making things a priority out on the recruiting trail, but it really needs to be seen in the 2022 class that Auburn just landed, because I think they went from the number 7 class to the number 20 class, and all things considered, it's a pretty big drop off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am going to say, put yourself out there, number 14, and just really, really sing the sort of praises of the Auburn brand, whatever that is.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Let's go to North Carolina, Dan.
Okay.
North Carolina, led by one Mac Brown, 7-6 in year one. Under Mac, 8-4 this past season. COVID weird year. Offense took a huge jump forward. Huge jump forward. By any measure, the offense was outstanding, both through the air and on the ground. On the defensive side, I think we were looking for more of an improvement, Daniel. It did sort of tread water. It wasn't as big of a jump as many were expecting, though they have recruited well on that side of the football. Defense probably actually got a little bit worse.
Yeah, the defense was fine. I mean, they played some tough offenses, but there were stretches there. I mean, this you're looking at a program that, what, they went 7-3 within the ACC, and they beat West, like Western Carolina or something. So they had technically had 8 wins, so they go 8-4 if you include the bowl game loss to Texas A&M. But their losses during the season that were not that they were going to have a good chance at winning. They were never going to win that Notre Dame game with the way that Notre Dame defense was playing, especially letting Jordan Travis run all over them and letting everybody on the Florida State offense run all over them.
You were frustrated by North Carolina on the rewatch, weren't you?
I rewatched the Virginia game, and yeah. Sam Howell shredded the Hoos. They ran the ball fine, but Sam Howell shredded them all game long and did enough to win that game. The issue is Sam Howell and just mistakes in general in terms of turnovers and mistakes, it killed the Heels. It kept them out of the game, and Sam Howell kept bringing them in. And then so you have Sam Howell bringing them to the goal line near halftime in the first half and throwing a bad backwards pass that can't be handled, and that ends the half right as they're about to score. And then another fumble in the second half. It's just one of those. I mean, it was right away in the second half, and it's surrounded by Virginia getting it done right before the end of half of the end of the first half and the beginning of the start of the second half. That's just like, God, this is such a winnable game for North Carolina. And yet, and it was on the road, they snatched, defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah,
that was an 86% post-game win expectancy. If you look at the metrics in that game, the computer would figure there's an 86% chance North Carolina wins. They give up 44 in a losing effort. And then that Florida State game, it was just, you know, a nightmare of a first half, and they fixed things in the second half, but they couldn't bring themselves back. So this was the team that was most obviously a double-digit win quality team. They weren't on A&M's level, which A&M is right there on the edge of the playoff, and that's fine in the bowl game. But as we move forward and North Carolina is replacing its best receivers and best running backs, they've recruited well. And, you know, Ty Chandler comes in from Tennessee, but it's not obvious as to who is immediately holding up their end of the bargain with Sam Howell.
Yeah, I mean, at the skill positions. So the one at the skill positions. Yeah, the one caveat I would add here is that despite the fact that there are obvious targets, obvious skill positions that are going to need to be replaced, North Carolina is set up pretty well in the trenches. They do bring back a lot in the front seven with the exception of Chaz Surratt. So I think this is a team that is set up well. They need to find some of those complementary pieces, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be guys who can hang with Sam Howell and at least a little bit more havoc on the defensive side of the ball, especially up front. That's where they got pushed around a little bit. And so that can make up for a lot of offensive green issues early on. But yeah, I mean, they've recruited well. Again, there are guys who can come into their own this fall. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but this is without a doubt a team who has shown flashes. And even though I like to call him Michael Carter Williams, but Javonte Williams and Michael Carter are gone, it was as complete an offense as we saw, I guess, outside of Alabama across college football. So that has me feeling good about the Heels and threatening to become a Saturday, Sunday and win, you know, 10 games every so often or more often than they do now.
So what you're describing to me, again, as the elder statesman of this show, I don't know if
I've said that
before, but
what
you're describing to me is somebody in their like mid to late 20s where they've got things going in a good direction.
Totally.
Not fully matured yet.
No.
Not
fully
a girl, matured
not yet a woman, as Britney Spears liked to point out. Yeah.
The wise prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking things around create a retirement plan, talk to a financial advisor, even things like, you know, don't hold grudges or get serious about dental care, Dan, which number 32, your teeth are slowly rotting away. Thank you. AskMen.com.
Yeah.
I feel like the message of stability is what we need to try and convey here, because the other fact that you didn't mention is that Sam Howell's going to go pro after this coming season. He's going to go pro. He's going to be.
And they've got a QB of the future as well.
Got a QB of the future.
Drake May, yeah.
However, Sam Howell caught lightning in a bottle with him, and not all of those top blue chip recruits work out.
Right.
So my only point here is let's start thinking long term about how we can build this thing. The offense has been fun. The defense needs to get better. What can we do if we're Mack Brown, if we're really trying to turn this into a fully formed program? Something of stability. Get serious about dental care feels a little too morbid. It implies that there is an issue, but maybe we just go like surface level, talk to a financial advisor, like start getting some stuff together, set up that IRA, make sure that your contributions to the 401k are going to the right spot to set up for long-term growth.
Yeah.
Are we on
not
the same
too risky,
page here?
But not too conservative with your investing. Uh-huh.
Well, when you're young, that's when you want to go risky. You gotta go pedal to the metal when you're younger. But maybe we're starting to talk about, all right, we'll throttle it back a little bit. We'll go into some, you know, some investments that are less risky. Does that feel about the same page?
Anything detail oriented on here? Make a will. So that's crossing T's and dotting I's, or in Wayne's World 2, lowercase J's. It's the reason they lost those games is not because they were out talented or out schemed. They were just outplayed. And so if they are not fumbling, if they're not muffing punts, if they are not getting beaten by Florida State's second or third string quarterback on the ground and good but not killer running backs, and they obviously showed that they were able to make the adjustment defensively in the second half. But yeah, it's becoming more detail oriented. I don't know if it's on your list, but it's, you know, it's raking leaves.
I got it. I got it right here. I found it. Number nine. Look at number nine.
Buy property.
Buy property. Isn't that the ultimate, like, I am maturing move right there?
Sure. And that's paying attention. That's cleaning out your gutters.
Buy property, number nine. So our advice
to buying and maintaining. Yeah.
North Carolina is get out of the rental, get out of the apartment, find something that's going to start working for you.
Build equity as a program.
That's it, man.
Okay.
You may not be able to, I'm going to read this. You may not be able to afford your dream apartment in your favorite city, but you can probably invest in something that will develop and appreciate nicely over the next few decades. This is what we're talking about here.
Not in this market, Ty. Woof.
Plus you end up with the option to rent out your space and sell it the line for a tidy price. I like these words here. Tidy. Appreciate nicely. Next few decades, we're trying to build this thing for North Carolina. Number nine, buy property. That's my advice.
Okay. Next team.
Next team, let's go Oklahoma State, Dan.
Oh, would love to.
Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, 8-5 in 2019, 8-3 in 2020. My thing with Oklahoma is that every team, every year feels exactly the same.
You mean state? Because that's very insulting to call them Oklahoma.
Oklahoma State, excuse me.
Yeah. You're okay.
Please forgive me.
Yep.
Every team, every year feels kind of exactly the same.
Wait, they bump up against that ceiling.
Yeah. I mean, every
that
year we
that
have...
They're always good, but then they'll have a clunker and a half and lose a game that they shouldn't, and they end up 9-3, 8-4.
The really exciting bit for Oklahoma State that has left me actually feeling a bit frustrated is that the defense has improved.
Mm-hmm.
It has improved. And whenever you see a defense in the Big 12 that plays at a really high level, that's a competitive advantage. At least it should be.
Yeah.
The offense, though, has been very inconsistent. And there are various reasons for that.
Yeah. 2 years various, ago was a nightmare.
Yeah, various reasons for that. You know, like this past year, there were, you know, the Chuba Hubbard thing. Is he playing? Is he not playing? Spencer Sanders
he's
was hurt for
he's
a
beat
while.
Up all year, yeah.
Yeah, like there were reasons for it. I'm not saying it's all self-inflicted. It's not. But despite a lot of promise, it just feels like that offense has not really appreciated, I'll use the word again, in the way that we had expected. The defense has done its part. The offense just feels like just very frustratingly inconsistent in a way that we have not necessarily come to know from a Mike Gundy team, where typically we think Gundy, we think offense first. So I know you went back. I know you looked at Oklahoma State. What did you see?
Man, they handed the Texas game to the Horns on a silver platter. They moved the ball so well. They made so many good decisions on offense, and then strip sacks and bad picks and picks run back to give Texas short fields. It was a 98% win expectancy for Oklahoma State, given the metric advantage that they had over Texas across the board. But Texas made plays on defense, and as we've come to watch, Sam Ellinger somehow, through a mix of occasional deep balls but mostly slowly developing drag routes, comes back and helps Texas to win this game. Made plays at the end of the game that Spencer Sanders, and he was getting beat up at the end of this game as he tried, but it was another instance of just not take, I don't know if there's an item here, like don't shoot yourself in the foot. I don't know what that's analogous to, but there was something about Oklahoma State, who as a double digit win-ish team and program should do. They weather a quarterback injury and they're able to survive and advance and win games with, was it Shane Illingworth was the one who ended up taking the majority
Shaggy
of those backup
Shane,
snaps?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane Illingworth, who was fine, but obviously had a very young ceiling. But the offense was able to adapt and win games, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a very positive thing for the Pokes. But the Spencer Sanders element, I know he cut down on the interceptions overall, but the picks that he threw in this game were so backbreaking that I believe in Spencer Sanders' ability and his ceiling more than I do for Bo Nix. But at the same time, there is that seesaw element, like you talked about. Like the offense has an amazing year and the defense falls off a cliff. Then the defense steps up in a big way and the offense is dealing with injury issues or turnover issues or something like that, and they fall down. And now we're dealing with an Oklahoma State team who is, I think, still pretty solid at running back. If I remember correctly, their room is still pretty deep even without Chuba Hubbard, but no more Dylan Stoner, no more Tylan Wallace. So they should be fine at receiver. They generally seem to, and Mike Gundy and his staff, and they have one of the better, I guess he's now their coordinator, but the longtime receivers coach has always done a great job finding and developing talent. So that Oklahoma State, I don't see a reason why they're making that leap to 10 wins, but I could see the threat becoming more obvious that they're going 9-3 or they're going 8-4, but they're only losing games because Baylor has gotten so much better or TCU finally found a quarterback and they just go back and forth. It's easy to see how they could win 10 games, but my confidence level is sort of on that similar Oklahoma State seesaw, that offense defense seesaw. I'm just like, I'm going to need to see it more often before I believe it.
So this is a message of not unlike North Carolina, trying to get more consistent, trying to get more stable.
Sure.
There is an item. There are a couple items, again, on the as the elder statesman on this AskMen.com list.
Right. And they, by the way, in terms of getting to double-digit wins, they win because they won their bowl game. So that got them to 8 wins. So they're 7-3 in the regular season. They lose to TCU scoring 22 points in a not great offensive performance, obviously. They're not competitive in the Bedlam game in Norman. And they eke out a win against Will Howard and Kansas State on the road.
Yeah.
Backup QB. So it's not like the 7 regular season wins were crazy impressive, and it's a strange year for everybody, but I want to see a 27 touchdowns to 6 interception year from Spencer Sanders. If that is, I mean, that's just, it's kind of a hollow stat, but if we're in that range, that's telling me that he's playing with a certain degree of confidence. That makes me feel good about a 10-2 Poke team.
The answer here is number 21, eat healthier.
Yeah.
Eat healthier. We are looking for a cleaner burning, more efficient version of Oklahoma State.
Yeah. That was really close to what I guess T-Boone was trying to do, right? Wasn't he trying to go wind energy near the end there?
I think near the end there, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think he was. Here's what this says. This is great. Everyone knows you're supposed to live healthier as you get older. The days of smashing cheeseburgers and beer with impunity are over.
Yeah, not Mike Gundy has had to change his ways. Yeah.
Exactly. Not only is it easier to put on weight now as your metabolism slows, but threats like heart disease and diabetes are more real than ever. So start subbing greens for grease and hedge your bets. I almost read hedge your farts, which is definitely wrong.
Nah, it might apply.
Eat healthier. We are looking for a cleaner, more refined, more disciplined, and more consistent Oklahoma
State.
So
it's the late night snacking for Spencer Sanders. That's so tantalizing. That's just going to mess everything up for the next morning.
Put down the Cheetos, maybe go carrot sticks.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, eat healthier. You would know.
I would. I've done it too.
Yeah. Next team. Who do we talk about?
We got one team left here, Dan.
Okay.
Let's talk about your Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ASU Sun Devils.
Also 8-5 in 2019, just 2-2 in 2020. COVID shortened year, especially so for the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am all over the map on ASU.
Okay.
I really like Jaden Daniels.
I've zoomed in a little bit. I've dropped a pin.
You've dropped a pin?
Yeah, like when you're all over the map, don't you drop a pin on like your phone to tell somebody where you are?
You drop the pin, or if you're on the computer, you drop the pin and like spin the wheel to really, yeah.
Well, continue.
I am all over the map on ASU. I really like Jaden Daniels. I don't know if they figured out a way to put him in a position to succeed. He's had some talent around him that he's been able to utilize. But I feel like his interaction, especially with like his offensive line, hasn't been great. We saw him run more this past year, which was both exciting and at the same time kind of like terrifying.
For his life necessary? Yeah.
Yeah, like, and on the defensive side, I feel like sometimes we get a good version of ASU. Sometimes we don't. Like, I don't know. Maybe the reason that we're playing this game for at least four of these five teams, Auburn, UNC, Oklahoma State, and now ASU, is to figure out how they can get more consistent and how they can play to a higher level. My opinion of this team, though, is very much clouded by the fact that I like their quarterback and I'm just unsure of pretty much everything else.
There are a number of things to like about ASU. The secondary was pretty good last year. The skill talent was, especially given some of the youth there. I mean, a good mix of youth and older guys. LV Bunkley Shelton, Johnny Wilson's a huge dude. Frank Darby made plays. But they just had like a nothing season. They lose last second to USC. I didn't rewatch that game because I didn't want to rewatch anybody's first game because it's never fully indicative of anything. But they lose that game up late and just completely fold. And then they're off for a month. ASU's totally snake bitten by the health and safety stuff. And so they get back on the field early December against UCLA a month later. And there were cobwebs. The offensive line was not good. And Jaden Daniels, who normally, I believe he is not turnover prone. He does not throw a lot of picks. He, I think, had a fumble at the goal line. He lined up under center, about to score, and there's a botched exchange and UCLA recovers, and then he throws an exceptionally catchable ball. Unfortunately, it's true when he overthrows it by about 10 feet and throws a pick in the end zone. So the opportunities were there for ASU to go undefeated this year, and big asterisk, that's 4-0 for ASU. They end up not playing in a bowl game, but they could have beaten USC quite easily in LA. They could have beaten UCLA and Tempe. They blow out Arizona. They have a nice win against Oregon State, who wasn't fantastic, but Oregon State won the Civil War. That's something. They had a 65% win expectancy in that UCLA 25-18 loss. And they just, the stretches where they're not moving the ball were too frequent. And then the mistakes when they do move the ball. So Arizona State is quite close. They need to get better and deeper up front on both sides of the ball. UCLA had too many plays pushing around and running over around and through ASU up front on defense. And then on offense, Jaden Daniels was constantly under fire in this game. And the teams we've talked about, Auburn has been pretty good up front on offense and really good on defense. Iowa, of course, is kind of an NFL factory on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And North Carolina certainly showed a lot of improvement on both sides, though they got pushed around on defense a bit. That's one of those things where, and Oklahoma State looked incredible up front on defense for stretches last year. It's one of those things where it's hard to see ASU not dropping three games when their lines of scrimmage are not necessarily on the level of the rest of the field or their better opponents. So I can see them taking down good teams like they did a couple years ago against Oregon. But UCLA was fine. They were interesting. They were intriguing. ASU should have beaten UCLA at home last year. It was right there for the taking. And I imagine a Herm Edwards hyped team. They're basically 2 minutes from being 4-0. That's, so it is tantalizing. And I understand the ASU hype, but their big bodies need improvement.
Big body. So is it a question of cleaning up the sloppiness?
Somewhat, yeah. They didn't tackle particularly well against UCLA.
Number 23, trim all the extra hair. Is that painting with too broad a brush?
Well, Herm definitely did number 16, reconnect with old friends.
He did.
Antonio Pierce and Marvin Lewis.
He did.
Hugh Jackson. Take care of your parents.
No. I mean, Herm is an older gentleman.
Right.
ASU is tough for me. It is tough for me. It's certainly not switch up your career path because I feel like they're on like a decent enough track. It's really a question of getting better at some key spots as well as that cleanup of the sloppiness.
I'm seeing, did Hugh Jackson not go? Was it just Marvin Lewis? I think Hugh Jackson was going to go to ASU and help out in some way. I don't know if he actually did. Continue.
So I think it's a combination of a couple things. For starters, I will stick to trim the extra hair. You gotta mm-hmm. clean the sloppiness, I think.
Oh, yeah. Especially up front on offense. UCLA had plays where, and this is more of a credit to UCLA and their front and creativity, where I think ASU had obviously their five linemen in and they left their running back in to help out. And so you had a six-man wall. And UCLA showed pressure on one side and dropped guys back. And UCLA was getting to Jaden Daniels untouched with a 4-6 disadvantage. And that's an issue. I think they like really impressive overloaded sides and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's a Jaden Daniels or if it's an offensive line thing or it's a communication between the two. But with the game on the line, Jaden Daniels was running for his life and just couldn't make plays.
It's a combination of trimming the extra hair with number 25 making amends, Dan. Making amends. Here's what it says for making amends. And I think this is, as the elder statesman, you know, this is something that I think about a lot as I enter the latter stages of my life. No matter how hard we try, make amends. No matter how hard we try, we all commit wrongdoings from time to time, Dan.
Okay.
Often it can be easy to gloss over or hope that they fade into the ether. But now's a good time to make amends for those things you might have said or might have done that never settled right. Not only will you feel unburdened, ASU, you might just rescue or rekindle an important relationship with winning football. I added that last part.
I like it.
Make amends and trim the hair.
I was going to go number 39, learn basic survival, which you might need if Dimitri Felton and DTR are going to, and what, Britton Brown are going to keep running all over you.
Number 39, you're an authority figure now. Like it or not, people are going to look to you for guidance and reassurance, especially when things go south. Don't let them down. Know how to handle yourself. This is where it takes a turn. In various survival situations. I thought this was just like a metaphor.
Wasn't it also what, surviving at the end of the USC game with the lead?
Yeah.
Surviving a full drive without fumbling it on the goal line.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
Why don't we, okay, so instead of making amends, since that's a little too deep for this show.
Yeah.
Why don't we say we got to do the trimming of the hair thing because that's too funny to not. And then 39, learn basic survival. It also says learn how to build a fire in a shelter, keep emergency kits in your house and car, know how to perform CPR or fashion a splint. You're the one they're looking to. I don't know who is looking to ASU in this strange kind of comparison, but learning basic survival, as you said, they were 2 minutes from 4-0. Yeah, that fits, Dan. I actually like that one a lot.
Thank you very much. Those are our five teams, right?
Those are the five teams, yeah.
What, across anything that you may have read in the literature I sent.
Yeah, thank you for that advice.
Yeah, the medical checklist and things to accomplish when you're 40. And there's a lot of bucket list stuff on there. What makes you, either physically or emotionally, mentally, whatever, what makes you feel your age the most explicitly?
Get your first colonoscopy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
doesn't scare me.
Make a will?
A will's, yeah. I mean, you have to.
Isn't that a little premature at turning 40?
No. I need to do it more so than you do right now just because I have potential heirs, clear potential heirs. I don't know what kind of thought you've given your who's going to be your heir, but like next generation heir, not solid wife, Kate.
Sure.
But I think it's the responsible thing to do to get your affairs in order. It's a crazy, violent world.
Make an archive of your life so far, number 35.
Whoa, that's deep.
Good hell, man. Chances are there's a ton of documentation about your life scattered throughout the real and online world. That's for sure.
Well, let's go through each one of these real quick. I just want to know where you're at. Okay.
There's 40 of them. Not all of them.
Yeah, no, we'll just real quick. Listen, I know you don't have time.
We got 5 minutes.
We got 5 minutes. All right. Celebrate. Are you grateful? Do you celebrate? Are you prone to celebration?
Prone to celebration.
Yeah, you lead a good life.
I'm not prone to celebration, but I'm not against. I believe we all need to celebrate a little bit more.
Well, will you have a 40th birthday party with friends and family? Will you go all out and let them shower you with happiness?
It depends on what that means. Okay. No, if anyone is putting stuff in my yard, I will kill them.
Okay,
I will murder them in cold blood. Otherwise, I'm fine with it.
Go on an adventure.
I'm okay with this.
Like, what sort of adventure or vacation or trip sounds the most out of your comfort zone?
No,
like,
it's
do you want to go climb a mountain? Do you want to take surfing lessons in Costa Rica?
No, I just let's go to Europe. That'd be fun.
Okay, that's a big place, Ty. We're going to need to be specific, and we need to be specific about activities. Do you want to climb the Matterhorn?
No, I don't care about climbing. I hate heights. You know me. You've been on a plane.
You hate heights.
You know what that's like.
What about some sort of water adventure?
I like boats. I'm cool with boats.
Would you go like serious whitewater rafting?
No, I don't like boats that much. No.
Oh, it's fun, Ty.
No, I'm sure, but I'm really,
I think
I'm
that's
good.
A good one for you.
Whitewater rafting?
Yeah, I don't, maybe you can do it in Pennsylvania. I don't know, but I think you got to get out west. You can do it in Canada. You can do it, Arizona, Colorado, somewhere like that. You can do it in California, Oregon. Whitewater rafting is really fun. And if you get thrown, you're wearing a life jacket and you sort of bob in the water. It's great.
I don't know how I feel about this. I need
give
to think
up your
more,
grudges.
I need to. I can give up. I don't really hold grudges that much.
But you are crazy competitive about certain things.
I do hold some grudges now that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about make a will. You haven't made your will yet. You've started a family in that you've gotten married.
That's correct.
So you have all sorts of relatives that you didn't before you got married.
That's right.
So that technically counts.
Sure.
I did read about genetic material and what happens when you turn 40. So. Okay.
You were sending me this as well. We didn't include this as part of,
First colonoscopy.
We talked about this.
I mean, you just got to do it. I don't think it's a big deal.
This is one of the ones that makes me feel old. You asked.
I don't think it's a big deal.
I'm not saying it's a big deal, but.
I know. Just do it. Create a new tradition. A chili cook-off, a scavenger hunt, a family roast, a country getaway, anything.
I'm okay with new traditions. This is like doing the college football playoff on New Year's Eve. Like they tried it and it didn't work, but I feel like I could do a better job.
buy property. You've already done that. Yep. Stop worrying about what other people think.
I've gotten better with this. I think just through the course of doing like our show here, I definitely don't care as much about like when Michigan people write in and bitch about something I said.
11, indulge a sex fantasy. Don't go to your grave with a bunch of unfulfilled fantasies. Instead, find a few that are feasible and discuss them with your partner. So like nothing that'll be super threatening for your shoulder because you've got a bum shoulder.
Right.
Sharing a fantasy can bring the two of you even closer together as long as you're honest and willing to be flexible.
This is the reason that you started doing this list, isn't it? You wanted to
No, it actually
11.
Isn't. It's not fun to hear you like divulge like the inner right. workings of your id, but I think it's important to think about.
Okay. What's number 12? Let's go to 12.
Hold on. We're not done with number 11. Man, I once had a conversation, not with Solid Wife Jody. I once had a conversation with somebody and it didn't go as poorly. The conversation, that is, it didn't go as poorly as I thought it could have gone. Like I was asked the question and didn't really have a good answer. Ask the question back and she had an answer.
Mm-hmm.
We did not indulge.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh? Okay, that's feasible, as number 11 likes to indicate. Take up a team sport, number 12. You do this. You've played in rec leagues.
I have. Yeah, I have. I don't know if I'm in team sport material right now, but I'm always open to team sports.
This one I love. Number 13, spice up your marriage.
Spice.
Don't let your marriage stagnate. It can happen naturally and slowly drive you and your partner apart. That's the stagnation. Instead, make the effort to keep going on fun dates, flirty texts. So this is not necessarily the fantasy stuff.
Right.
It's just, are you keeping the embers? Are you trying to turn the embers into flames?
Right. Okay.
Would you say you are?
Sure. Always.
Just making sure.
Okay.
Throw some extra emojis at the end of a text?
Yeah, you know, just, you got to keep them guessing.
That's smart. That's smart. 14, put yourself out there.
Put yourself out there. We've put ourselves out there more than enough.
That's true. With number 11 and 13 and yeah.
Yeah.
Discover a new passion. Is there something that you are looking, that you've always said, I'd love to learn how to be a calligrapher. I'd love to learn hip hop dance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to learn Italian.
Right.
Is there something there that you're like, okay, if I had a swath of time, I would love to pursue.
We should talk about this one later. We could talk
really?
About this. We'll talk about this one later. Yeah.
Like off mic?
No, in an upcoming show. We'll talk about this.
Oh, okay.
One.
Reconnect with old friends. I'm very bad at this.
I'm pretty good with this one.
Oh, I'm so bad.
I guess it
has to do with grudges too. Take care
of
your parents.
You
do a good job with that.
I do. Yeah, I just saw Mommy Ish today, actually.
Nice. Update your wardrobe. We talked about that. Mentor someone.
I'm down to mentor somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like doing it. Create a serious retirement plan.
I think I'm okay.
You investing?
There. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good there.
Eat healthier. We've talked about embrace the change. Look, your reflexes are going to slow down. Your memory will start to fade. I've totally embraced this.
Yeah, sure.
You
it's hard
ice
for me.
Up
I'm
after
not, I'm
exercising.
Not, I'm not great with change.
Trim all that extra hair. We've heard from you on the Manscaped ads.
Sure.
Treat yourself. Is there a luxury item, Ty, that you've been eyeballing for?
I'm not good at this one.
A midlife crisis.
No, I'm not. Midlife crisis, not so much, but treat yourself could take on many forms. I don't know if I
feel like you could treat yourself better.
I could. I definitely
You haven't
could.
Really traveled. I think luxury travel is the treat yourself that you need
luxury
to circle.
Luxury travel. Make amends 25. Travel. I'm good. Stop procrastinating. I will never stop procrastinating. That's sort
Correct.
Of my MO. Go back to school. I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need that. Ease up on vices. I don't really have that many vices. Take dancing lessons. I took dancing lessons actually before the wedding. We were gonna do a little dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we called a hot route at the end because Kate's dress was way bigger than I.
Oh no!
She had warned me. She's like, yeah, like it's been fun doing this as a couple. I'm glad we did this together. Had this moment.
Right.
There's no way we can do the dance. And I was like very dismissive. And she took exception to that. I was very dismissive. She's like, listen, this dress is not going to support the dance. And it didn't. So we didn't. We called it off at the last second.
Wow. Could you do it tonight?
No.
If need be?
No.
You don't have
no.
the muscle memory still?
Nope. Totally forgot it.
If you're almost bald, you have a wonderful head of hair. Shave your head. No, okay. That does not apply to you. Start a skincare routine.
I'm good.
Do you have a humidifier? Do you moisturize?
No, I don't do any of that.
Do you wear sunscreen? Are you responsible about sunscreen, Ty?
Nope. I'm not. I'm really not.
Get serious about dental care.
I'm pretty serious, but I'm a clencher and I'm a grinder. And I'm pretty sure right now at time of recording, I have another cracked tooth. I did it last year. I think I did it again this year through the pandemic.
Are you a water picker, a flosser, electric toothbrush?
I've got one of those Quip toothbrushes, which used to be a sponsor, I think.
Yeah. They're very good.
And I floss, yeah. Not as much as I should, but I do a good job. It's just, I feel like the clenching is really grinding me away.
That's fair. Were you a braces kid?
I was, yeah.
I definitely was, yeah. Stress relief.
Stress relief. Nah, I need to get better at that.
What? So you do take walks.
I take walks. Bird. I don't sleep, though.
I know.
I'm not very good at sleep.
You got to start taking breaks, too. I think meditation would serve you pretty well. I try to do it pretty often.
I might have ADD. I get bored when I try to meditate.
Yeah. You can get past it. You just got to practice. It's a practice.
Make an archive of your life. We talked about that's very morbid.
Yeah. I wrote a memoir when I was 10.
Yeah. Keep a journal. I've tried. I can't keep with it.
Support a cause you've done. Start a business you've done. Basic survival you probably haven't done.
Haven't done, no.
Were you a Boy Scout?
No.
Cub Scout?
No.
Anything like that?
No.
Same. I was not either. Would you be okay in a Sopranos, Pine Barrens? I don't know if you watch Sopranos. Would you be able to handle yourself if your car broke down in a forest and you needed to stay warm and you were like starving or crazy thirsty? Do you think you could make do until morning?
Until morning?
Yeah, or maybe 24 hours.
I could last whatever the maximum threshold is for the human body before it starts to. What I'm saying is I couldn't do anything on my own.
I would make it 2 hours.
I would last as long as my body would allow.
Master a handful of recipes. Check. You've done it.
This is your thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I have a couple new projects in the works as well, food-wise, non-pizza.
Wow. Okay.
All right. That's it. That's all I have, Ty. It's been an honor and a privilege.
An honor and a privilege as the elder statesman of the show. I appreciate this more mature discussion about where we're all headed sooner than later.
Or we have people that listen that are older than 40. So if they want to weigh in on how to live your best 40s for our dear boy, Ty, that would be
helpful. I would appreciate that, actually. Yeah. I would appreciate some advice. Someone take me under their wing. Mentor me.
Yeah, always ice. Always ice.
Outside of always ice.
Yeah.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com. is the email address. Don't forget to follow along on social media. Don't forget to go to newsletter.solidverbal.com for more info on how to join up with the newsletter, which again, I'm pretty pumped about. We're going to be ratcheting up a lot more. That's all I got, Dan. I appreciate your candor in this discussion today.
Oh man, I'm just trying. Now, everybody that listened to the show at one point said, yeah, I wonder what Ty's fantasy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's right.
And the thing is, you come across as so rational and straight-laced and dependable.
Right.
That it almost makes what that possibility is that much more electric.
I'm Iowa, is what you're saying. I'm Iowa.
Yeah, but then what is your 2019 Holiday Bowl where they go crazy against USC?
Yeah. I think that's where we leave it, Dan.
Okay.
Don't forget, we've got an off-topic show with our friend Bill Barnwell from ESPN talking 90s sports movies for kids, available at verballers.com on Friday morning. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thank you, as always, for downloading, for listening, for supporting. We will talk to you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.